Father, we just thank you for this day. What a glorious morning, beautiful sunshine. Father, I thank you for just how you provide for us. And Father, I want to pray for John this morning as he comes and speaks your word to us. Father, that you'll just use him as your vessel, that we will hear your words, that your Holy Spirit will prompt in our hearts and our minds how we are to act. And Father, we just want to give you all the glory and honor this morning. We worship you, we praise you, because you are God, and you are so deserving of it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. One of the evidences of a healthy church is how much money they give. No. I guess that might be a way that some people would judge the health of a church. But I think one of the best ways to judge the health of a church is to hear the fellowship that goes on. Man, you guys just don't stop, do you? Even when the preacher gets up and tries to get your attention. I know in our church it's usually after the service, but you know, when people just, boom, they're gone after the service is over, you wonder about how close-knit the group is and how much they really care for one another. But when we see people hanging around and you got to kind of shoo them out to lock up the building or something, that's good. That's good to see. And it's good to see all of you today. I thank you for your support. As you have been supporting us for a long time, as we've been connected with your church over the years, and he says, check, check. It was on. It's still on. The light's on. It's all the way over. All right. Okay. It's Bill's fault. Now it's on. Okay. Now I got to tone it down a little, huh? I'll try not to scream up here or anything like that and drive you all away. We really appreciate your partnership in the gospel. This morning I wanted to do something a little different from where I normally would preach from the Word of God and get into the Bible and share that. But this morning I do want to do some of that, but I want to share with you a little bit about our background. My wife, Diana, sitting over here. And I'm John Deakle. I want to share a little bit about our background because I realize many of you probably don't know us. And so maybe that'll help you to get to know us. We would like to share a little bit with you about our connection with your church, how we got connected with your church in the first place. And then a little bit about our retirement and about our challenge to you as a congregation. We were really excited to see how the Lord is just bringing people into the community around you here. Things have sure grown a lot even since we were last here 6 years ago. My wife and I met here in Washington State in 1965. I'm from Michigan, grew up in Detroit, Michigan. My wife grew up in Minnesota in the southeast corner of the state, or southwest corner of the state. And we ended up meeting in Seattle, Washington, because we both traveled on a gospel team for a year in 1965 at our own expense. We traveled around the Pacific Northwest and fell in love with this part of the country. In 1966, Di went to, I call her Di, like you can remember Princess Di. Okay, there she is in your midst. Royalty today. She went to Mexico to teach missionary children, and I went back into the gospel team for a second year. During that year, she contracted hepatitis and had to come home, and the Army contacted me, the U.S. Army, and said, I want you. I had the distinct privilege of being the first to ever be called out of that gospel team that had been going on for 17 years at that time. I was the first one to get drafted out of it into the U.S. Army, and so Uncle Sam called me, and I went into the military. In 1967, we were married, and our verse was from Psalm 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." That was our passion or our desire at that time. After boot camp, the Army sent me to New Jersey, and we were still not married yet. This was in 66, and I began working there and at a Fort Monmouth in New Jersey, and Di and I were corresponding. We decided we'd go ahead and get married. So in June of that year, we married and went back to New Jersey, and we went back to the church that I was attending, and they asked us to leave. They didn't want us to stay any longer. The reason they asked us to leave was because Di plays piano and I sing, and so they wanted us to go to a new church plant that they were starting in another town and lead the music and help with the services there. So that's what we did. We went and helped the church get started. Then Uncle Sam said, I want to send you on a honeymoon. And so I got my orders to go to Hawaii. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? Huh? So we went to Hawaii within the military. I was stationed at Camp Smith. It's the Joint Command for the Pacific. And we were there for a year and a half. During that time, we taught a children's church and got really involved in ministry in the church we were involved in there. Then when we left, we moved back to the mainland. We came to Washington State. And I went to school up in Vancouver, British Columbia. I commuted each day, and I pastored a church up in Birch Bay, Washington. And so I kind of got my feet wet in the ministry in that way, serving as a pastor. I was the first pastor of the church. It was just a brand new, it wasn't even a church officially at that point. So we had to organize it as a church, and we bought property and cleared the land and built the buildings and all that during the time I was there. I was there for about 4 years. Following that, we went back to Hawaii to fill in as an interim for a friend of ours who was a missionary in Hawaii, and he was on furlough for the summer, so we went and did that. And then we came back to Washington. See, Washington keeps calling. And we came back to Clark County and joined CEF there down in Vancouver, and I served as the local director there. We were very content to stay right there the rest of our life. However, God said, I want you to go over there, and that was Hawaii. He wanted us to go back to Hawaii, and I really wasn't interested in leaving Clark County, but I kept trying to type up a letter to send to them saying, no, I'm not interested, and it just couldn't work. And so finally I had to throw the letters away and call them and say, yes, I'll come and interview with the board. So we did, and I resigned from Clark County in, I believe it was in April or March of 77, and I had to raise financial support and prayer support before we could go. And so we started visiting churches and places, and I came to Spokane to do a 5-day club workshop. And as I was doing the workshop, I just shared with the folks that were there in Spokane that I was free on Sunday evening. That was on a Saturday. I said, I'm free Sunday evening if any of you want me to come to your church and share the ministry we're going into in Hawaii. And Pastor Bob Silver was there, and he said, well, come on over. We don't have very many people. We're just meeting in a little stone house. And I said, fine, that doesn't bother me. As long as there's at least one, I'm okay with it. And so we went to the little stone house and shared the ministry there. And Pastor Bob said, we can't financially support you because we're a mission. And the mission wasn't able to do it or whatever. I don't know what all the rules and regulations were, but he said, but we can pray for you. And I encouraged him to do that. And the Sunday school started sending support a little bit here and a little bit there. And it grew. And we've been partners since 77. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's been neat to come back and visit your church. Every time we are on furlough, we tried to stop by here and see you, and it's been since 2011 was the last time we were here. We came and visited the church at that time and then moved to Tennessee. We've watched God develop the ministry here as you've grown. Look at where you're at today. Isn't this fantastic? God is doing this, isn't he? It's really marvelous to see what the Lord is doing here in your midst. Every time we visit, we see exciting things that God has been doing here at Lake Spokane Community Church. And I'm just really thrilled to see what God is doing in your midst. I served as the State Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship in Hawaii from 77 to 2011. Di worked as the manager of our bookstore. We had a full-line bookstore at one point there, and she managed that for 15 years, and I taught at International College and Graduate School in Hawaii. It's kind of a Bible college or seminary, and I taught there for about 25 years. So that gives you a little bit of our connection with the church and our background. In retirement in 2011, I shared with you our plan was, we titled it Turning 411. You know, remember 411 was what you used to dial on a phone for information, information about turning. Okay. But our, actually that comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. I heard a pastor once say, I don't know of anybody that ever used that verse for anything. I said, but that's my verse. Because I like to work with my hands. I like to do things. And really, I felt like that was kind of God's call on us. From that, our objective hadn't changed from when we were married, to magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. We want to do that. That's our objective in life. But our goal when we retired from CEF, was the way we were going to accomplish that objective was to turn children into spiritual champions. I shared this with you back in 2011. Some of you might remember this. I want to turn children into spiritual champions. I want to turn teachers into effective mentors. I want to turn wood into beautiful treasures and turn retirement into productive opportunities. Now, an objective is accomplished by your goals. For instance, the church has an objective. Our objective is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, right? That's a great commandment, to love the Lord. How do we accomplish that? Through the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe everything the Lord has commanded us. That's the way we fulfill that great commandment. Our goal was to magnify the Lord and exalt his name. The way we were going to do it was in these items I just listed. In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. In Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. So you might wonder, how are things going in our retirement? How are we doing on those things, those four things I mentioned? Well, the plans have been drastically changed. We are not doing what I thought we would be doing because God had some other plans for us. We thought we knew the direction we were going to go. Our objective still remains the same. But we wanted to be flexible enough to fit into what God wanted us to do. So we didn't dictate to God what he had to do with us or how we would serve him. I was asked to lead the children's ministry in our church. We joined a little church in Tennessee, and we were content to be there. We were real happy. We enjoy the church. It's a great little, it's a small church, but we really enjoyed being there. But I was asked to head up the children's ministry, which I began, and then that was preempted when the pastor resigned, and I became the interim pastor. So for 6 months, I had to prepare 3 sermons a week just to keep up with, you know, the ministry in the church. And that was about all I did at that point as far as the ministry in the church, basically preaching 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then we called a pastor, and he came and I ended up doing a lot of construction around the church. We got engaged in a lot of building around the church and got to use my hands again, and became the Sunday school director, and we helped with organizational things around the church and serving as a deacon. And then, lo and behold, that pastor resigned. It just shocked us all. He'd only been there just a little over 2 years, and he resigned to go to a big church in another town next to us. So I became the interim pastor again. Guess what? Just can't get rid of me. Here I am again. So we served as the interim pastor, and this time I had a lot more responsibilities. I ended up not only preaching three times a week, but had to do staff meetings and develop outreach into the community. Our church is small, but does a lot in the community to reach out. And we really got established with that pastor, the second pastor that came. We focused on becoming a beacon to Harrison Bay, which is the area we live in. And we want to become a beacon of hope for Harrison Bay. And the church has really rallied around that thought of being a beacon of hope to our community. And so we've developed a lot of outreach into the community. We do things and people will come. We'll have sometimes, well, on Sunday morning, we usually run about this, well, I don't know if we even have this many. It's about 75, 80 people on Sunday morning. And we have things in the park, about a mile from the state park, and we'll do events there with 300, 400, 500 people that will show up. Movies and Easter services and things like that. So we're reaching into the community, and people say, is this sponsored by Bayside Baptist, a big mega church? No, it's not. It's New Bethel? Where's that? You know, it's down here a mile, down on the corner. And so the church has been really active in reaching out into the community. So I served as the interim pastor for 9 months, and then we called another pastor in October of 2016. He is there now and really fits in well with the church, and we're thrilled to have him there, and I'm thrilled to be retired again. People kept asking me if I, you know, wanted to continue as a pastor. I said, no, I'll be happy to resign again. Outside of our church, we have other connections as well. Di does a lot of sewing. She's a seamstress. She's always in the sewing room sewing. She's got a nice big sewing room and making quilts and clothes and just all kinds of things. And it's become a real ministry for her. In our church, she also is involved in the kitchen, serving a lot in the kitchen. And we provide food or meals for people that are in need. So we get involved in doing that. She's also got a neighbor right next door that she's really working on to try to reach for the Lord. I'm trying to reach the guy in that house. Him and I have become friends. At first, he hardly would even speak. And now every time I drive in, there he is, right away to, you know, come over and talk. And we're getting, you know, building those bridges so that we have opportunity. And we've shared with them already about the Lord, and we're trusting that they'll become believers before long. I'm also involved in the American Association of Woodturners have a chapter in our area, and I'm quite involved with the club there doing wood turning, a lot of woodworking. People say, what's wood turning? Well, anything that's round made out of wood, that's wood turning, okay? Bowls and pens and you name it, anything that's round, we'll try it. And so I'm quite involved with that because that's a way I can work with my hands, but also have opportunity to meet people that are not in church. And this gives us an opportunity to be able to share with those that don't know the Lord how they can come to know Him as their Savior. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. We want to find where He wants to use us and be involved there. That's where we want to be involved. So even though we're not doing what we thought we would be doing, God is using us. And we're able to serve Him because we're flexible to reach out to the people that need to hear about the Lord. People often ask me if we miss Hawaii. Yes, we miss Hawaii, but I usually say no, because it's not Hawaii that we miss, not the warm weather and the beaches and all that. It's the people, the people that we met that were friends. So honestly, we don't miss Hawaii. We do miss the people over there that we became friends with, and we're often in contact with them. But the Lord has given us a lot of contentment where we are. He's helped us to be contented. Actually, every place we've ever lived, we thought, this is where I want to stay the rest of my life. And I think God gives us that contentment when we're serving Him. God gives us contentment if we're doing His will. Now, what's our challenge for you this morning? As we wrap it up, I wanted to leave a challenge with you. How can you be walking with the Lord? Psalm 37 that I quoted from about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord is very much like Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm 1, and Psalm 37, both are talking about the joy and blessing of walking with God. The end of life, will you be able to say, I have no regrets? Well, maybe you've already got regrets. But from today until the end of life, you don't have to have any regrets if you want to commit your life to the Lord and walk with Him. And that's our challenge for you, to commit your life to walking with the Lord. Let me read Psalm 1 just as we close up this morning. Different translation that maybe will help you to really get the idea of what this psalm is talking about. It says, oh, the joys of those who follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Are you hanging out with those that don't know the Lord? Is that where your close friends are? This verse says, you know, God gives us joy when we're hanging out with God's people. But if we want to hang out with those that don't know the Lord, that don't walk with God, a lot of that's going to rub off on us. And we're going to have regrets in life. So we want to have joy. God says, walk with me. Walk in the way that I have laid out for you, and I'll give you joy in life. Verse 2 says, but they, that is the ones that walk with the Lord, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Do you enjoy getting into the Word of God, reading it, or is it just on Sunday? I hope you read it, because that's where we get joy in life. God wants us to get into His Word and let it become a part of us and influence our lives, how we live. I'm always amazed when I hear people say they're Christians, and boy, if they didn't tell me, I wouldn't know, because they sure don't live like it. Is that how you live? I hope not. We want to walk with the Lord according to His Word, what He has said in His Word, and live by it. Walk in the Lord. Walk in His Word. Delight in the law of the Lord. Verse 3 says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. And their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Would you like to be prosperous? Huh? Well, that's what it says right here. If you walk with the Lord, you'll be prosperous. Now, does that mean you're going to have a big bank account? Not necessarily. That might not help you any. It might be a hindrance. You say, oh, I'm so poor. Well, you don't have to think poor. You're rich, really. We're all rich, aren't we? If we know the Lord, we're rich. And God gives us everything we need. So let's not envy the things that the world has that we don't have. Let's enjoy the things God has given to us and enjoy the prosperity He has given us. Now, it goes on and says in verse 4, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. Now, when he's talking about wicked, now, that's that guy out there somewhere, right? He's a scoundrel. He's terrible. He's a horrible person. Now, that's not what it's saying. The wicked is a contrast with the righteous here. There are two kinds of people, those that know the Lord and those that don't. Those that know the Lord and are walking with the Lord, and those that don't know the Lord, and they're walking in their own self-directed way. God says, those that are over here, what I read is wicked, those are the ones that don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you might not consider yourself as wicked. When I say know the Lord, I mean you don't just know his name. It's you really have a personal relationship with him. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, now is the time to get started with it. You just talk with us after the service or talk with Pastor Kevin. Or I'm sure there's lots of people around here that would be happy. They would love to show you how you can have a personal relationship with God and how it can really change your life and make it prosperous and full of joy, not just happiness. Somebody just this week asked me if I was happy. I says, well, happiness depends on circumstances, really, doesn't it? Joy that God wants to give us is an inner peace within, a deep peace within our heart. And then verse 6 says, the Lord watches over the path of the godly. So if you're walking with God, you know him. He's watching over us. And what does he say about his path for us, his desire for us? He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God wants to give us. What a contrast to what Satan wants to give us. Satan wants to give us happiness, but the end is destruction. But the path of the wicked, it goes on to say in that verse, the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Recently in our church, we were doing a series, and we're looking at the contrast between Job, or we're looking at the life of Job, and I thought, what a contrast. All the things that Job went through when Satan attacked him. You look at that and you say, is that the one I want to follow, Satan? Look at what he gave Job. Nothing but pain and sorrow and heartache. And God had blessed him so much. And then God came back and blessed him again. The path of deception is Satan's path. He appears as an angel of light. He wants to give us happiness that only lasts as the circumstances dictate. The end is destruction and separation from God. God wants to give us joy, deep inner peace, and contentment. That contentment we have living in Tennessee, not Hawaii, that's because we know the Lord. I want to encourage you to continue walking with the Lord. God wants to give you prosperity. He wants to give you hope for the future. Why not follow him, right? Let's follow the Lord and continue to see him bless you as an individual as well as your church. Let me end with a song, that an old hymn. It says, there's joy in serving Jesus as I journey on my way. Joy that fills my heart with praises every hour and every day. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart every moment and every hour as I draw upon his power. There is joy, 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 that deep inner peace from God. Two paths that we can follow in life. Either we can follow the deception of Satan, and it is a deception, or we can follow the peace and joy that God wants to give us. So I'll end with that little challenge for you, an encouragement to walk with the Lord and enjoy all that he's got for you. Thank you so much for your partnership in the gospel, and we look forward to being able to visit with you after the service and during the potluck following the second service. Let's stand as we pray to the Lord, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like Satan, the angel of light, who looks good, the life he offers. It looks like everything is great, but we know from your word that the end is going to be destruction. Father, I pray that you would help us to walk with you, to follow you wherever you lead us, be willing to go and do that which you have called us to do, so we can enjoy the prosperity, the hope that you have for the future in our lives. Thank you for the eternal life that you give to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in God's peace.